is Isaiah 55. I'll put that verse up on the screen. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me." God speaking now. He's saying, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance." So again, I'm always looking for patterns, always looking for templates or what I call progressions. I don't really understand a lot about the intricacies of music, but I understand there's such thing as a chord progression. There's scales. I remember Every Good Boy Does Fine from my three piano lessons or whatever it was back as a kid, you know. But again, it's a scale, right? It goes up the scale. And so obviously, you know, we started out that let your soul delight itself in abundance just really jumped out at me, but you can't do that unless you eat what is good, and you can't eat what is good unless you listen carefully to the Lord. And that's a mistake. Remember when Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus about being born again, and he's like, "How can a man, when he's full grown, go back into his mother's body and be born a second time?" And he was trying to understand it from just a physical, flesh first type perspective. But there's an order to it. There's a pattern to it. There's a progression to it. And we see, as always, it begins with listening carefully to the Lord. And then we went through one of the more unique sermons that I've preached in a long time, as far as different. But we looked at nine different levels of listening, and we kind of identified that not all listening is created equally. And we won't try to go back through all of those, but we want to be high-level listeners. We want to lean into and receive and be transformed. And one of the things that we see in that transformative listening, that's level nine listening, that's when you listen and you hear something that enables you to leave differently than you came in. It changes you. It transforms you. But the characteristic of that high level, ninth level listening is you let down your guard, you let down your defenses, you're willing to be corrected, you're willing to hear something that would reveal an error in your heart or thinking and allow the Word of God to correct that. And there's a lot of people who hear the Word and listen to the Word, but to be entertained by it, or because they're interested in it, or because they're just curious about what the preacher's going to say next, but there's no real attitude of the heart that says, "Hey, you know, I'm believing God's going to speak to me tonight. He's going to speak to me this morning, and I'm going to hear something that's going to change my life. It's going to show me where I'm thinking wrong and need to think better and correctly." I do know why, but our blue cart in the kitchen, that's another thing. It's probably going to be a little cheaper to upgrade that cart than upgrade our speakers. But there was a family in the church that asked if we would buy that cart because they were doing some things here at the church. And so my mom and dad bought it, and it's seen better days if y'all know what I'm talking about. But Marcos has brought it back from the scrapyard more than once. Lord help me. But the wife of that family, I mean, she just, you know, really loved me. I mean, she's very friendly to me and all that stuff. But, you know, she finally told me later, she goes, "You know, half of what you say I don't agree with." You know, I'm like, I can't imagine staying in a church where you disagree with half or better what the preacher's saying, you know. But again, see, she didn't come to hear something. She already had her mind made up before she got here, you know. And to her credit, you know, she smiled. But, you know, on the inside, it's like that little boy, the teacher telling him to sit down. And he wouldn't stay in his seat. And she finally said, "Sit down." And he was sitting there, kind of had this funny look on his face. She said, "What's wrong now?" He said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside." You know? And we can be sitting down on the outside, but still standing up on the inside. But we want to be high level listeners. Now, we said that nothing has or ever will cost us more than what not listening to God costs us. And last week we covered some different things about God speaking to us, His wisdom, inclining our ear. I'm not going to try to go back to all those things, but the scripture shows us and reveals to us and then gives us examples of men and women who incline their ear and listen to the Lord, and others who turn their ear away and chose to reject what it is that God was saying. Now, I know it may just baseline of all baseline comments about this particular subject, but there's very little God can do to help you in your life if you won't listen to Him. He needs us to listen to Him, and that's why He places such a value on people who will. That's why He is so drawn to and attracted to people who will listen to what He has to say, humble themselves, and then do their best with the Lord's help to follow through and act upon what He says. These people who have that kind of attitude in their heart towards God and towards His word and His wisdom are special, special treasures to Him. Because again, that honors God. That honors God. I'm not judging this lady. I mean, we all got our issues we're overcoming, okay? But that was not a very honorable thing to say to me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I even tried to, you know, have a conversation with her, you know, silly, naive me. I'm like, "Oh, sister, what have I said?" "Well, it's all of it." I'm like, praise God, okay? you know, but again, you know, honoring your father and your mother, that would certainly involve listening to them, you know, and honoring God would certainly involve listening to Him. It's dishonorable to not listen to Him and to ignore what He has to say. And so remember, God honors those that honor Him. He loves everybody, but He can't honor everybody because He can't endorse bad behavior. For God to do the same thing for someone who doesn't listen to Him as He would do for the one who does listen to Him, that would be unjust. And it would actually be doing those who don't listen to Him a disservice because, you know, it's like, okay, we're just going to do whatever we want to do, and God's still going to be there for us and help us and bail us out and all sorts of stuff. And He's a merciful God. He certainly has been good to us even when we've been stubborn towards Him. But, you know, I know we got teachers in the room or employers in the room. And, you know, when you have someone, I know Matt's over a lot of people, you know, and the ones that slack and don't ever follow through on what it is they need to do versus the one who's goes above and beyond, identifies problems before they even make it to his desk. And again, that person is a special treasure. That's a special treasure. Amen. And so we want to have that kind of heart towards God. And again, one of the best things you can do for Him and for yourself is listen to Him. Is listen to Him. Don't turn your heart away, but turn or your ear away and your heart away, but turn your ear to Him. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus made this statement, and we see, you know, this used or some version of this. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He also says, "He who has eyes to see, let him see. He who has a heart to understand, let him understand." And when you understand or realize that he's talking about two different levels, and maybe that's a poor choice of words since we've already used that word talking about the nine levels, but two distinct, even related but different from one another, ways of seeing and hearing. And the human eye is enough to convince someone that there's a God. The ability to see, and ultimately there's something called an optic nerve. And we're able to see with our physical eye when light hits the optic nerve, which is then connected to the brain. So light waves to the optic nerve to the brain. That's the mechanics, very basic mechanics of physical sight. And then the same is true with sound waves into the ear, hitting what's called the auditory nerve. And then those nerves send signals to the brain that the brain is able to process. So that's seeing. But when Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, he's not talking about their ability to receive sound waves. He's not talking about their ability to receive light waves, the optic nerve and the auditory nerve. He's talking about seeing and understanding and hearing with the heart, with the heart. Now, I said Matthew 13, but let me jump ahead and we'll come back to that. This verse is one that we're familiar with, and we quote it a lot, and sometimes I quote it wrong, but I'm gonna get it right tonight. I quote the numbers wrong. It's Romans 10:17. 10:13 is whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 10:17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And of course the context here is, people hearing the gospel and faith rising up in them and calling upon the name of the Lord and being saved. In this same chapter, Romans 10, he explains that how can they call upon the Lord if they've never heard about him? How can they hear about him if nobody tells them about him? And how can people go and tell others about him if nobody helps send them? And so again, a pattern, a progression. One thing depending upon another, depending upon another, depending on another versus, or we could say it another way, one thing leading to another, which leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another. And there's an order to it. There's a pattern to it. So in this, we have this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm not saying this is wrong, but many times when we teach and preach on this passage, we focus on faith coming and we focus on the word of God. And faith is based upon the word of God. And faith comes when we hear the word of God. And so we put the emphasis on the faith and we put the emphasis on the word of God. And certainly the faith is important and the word of God is important. But notice there's one word in this verse that's mentioned twice. And that's hearing. Now, the Bible tells us, but I'll tell you what else tells us. Experience tells us this means more than sound waves reaching the auditory nerve. If all it took for us to have a whole bunch of faith was to just simply hear somebody reading the Bible to us or whatever, well, then we would all be faith giants by now. You got men who could quote the Bible who crucified Jesus or had him crucified. Are you following what I'm saying here? So experience and the word of God supports this idea. And so I'm mentioning that to you for a lot of reasons, but the first and foremost is this, I think, helps us get a little closer to what Jesus is saying. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So there's hearing the word of God, and then there's hearing the word of God. And I'm trying to inflect my voice to get us close enough to take the leap of faith to understand what he's talking about here. And if you look at this, again, if you dig into it, it's literally saying the anointed spoken word of God. The anointed spoken word of God. Brother Keith Moore shares an account where he had, I think it was a friend that he went to high school with, and they both went into the ministry. And of course, if you know Brother Keith Moore's story, he went to Rhema and then was on staff with Brother Hagin for many years. And this other brother went to seminary, took a different route. And they met up at a class reunion or something. I don't exactly know all the specific details. That's not important. But listen, because this really, really spoke to me. Something I heard him say years ago, and it still, this man was being very critical. He said, you know, you guys just send Brother Hagin's books all over the world in different languages. He said, we send Bibles. You guys should be sending Bibles instead of one man's book about the Bible. And at first, Brother Moore kind of thought, well, you know. But this is what the Lord told Brother Keith to respond. He said, the Bible doesn't say, how will they hear without a Bible? But how will they hear without a preacher? Bible's important. Duh. The Bible's important. But a preacher is somebody who helps explain the Bible to people so they can hear the anointed spoken word of God. And that's how faith, now remember, faith comes, but remember where it comes from. God's given to everyone. See, notice, it's hard to get to this verse, and all of a sudden you just want to start talking about the Word of God, and hearing the Word of God, and you know, and the spoken Word of God. And I'm doing it right now, and I'm trying to explain about people doing it, and I'm doing it. Amen? Because, again, it's a very important verse. It's a critical verse. But remember, Romans 12:3 says that God has given to every person the measure of faith. So the measure of faith in a person, it is activated when that person hears the anointed spoken word of God. It brings it to the surface, so to speak. It activates it. It arouses it. It wakens it up. How many times did we see it in the jail ministry? And of course, Brother Matt and Brother Donald did it much longer than I did. It was back in the Manthano days. I started teaching classes on Sunday morning. They continued the jail ministry. But those men being there didn't want to be in there. It's frustrated. You know, one guy in particular had to make him come in there. So he came in there in his whitey tighties just to show his hind end, literally and figuratively, you know. But then he started hearing the word of God and he starts crying. It's called something in him's being awakened. That was a crew, man. I'm telling you, a crew. But praise God. So again, all that's important, but we have the tendency to leave out the hearing. And the hearing, because the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen. Faith is faith, and the Word of God is the Word of God. But hearing the Word, watch that, I'm going to change. Hearing the Word. Not just with the auditory nerve, but hearing it with your heart. Understanding it, receiving it in your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I was raised in church, and every time you hear somebody start talking about the heart, it's like, okay, I can't, it's like an itch you can't scratch. I mean, it's in us, but, you know, we have this tendency to try to, you know, build everything into what we can do in the flesh. But when it comes to the matters of the heart, and it's by design, we have to trust God here. Because we can't change the heart without Him. Now, we can turn it towards Him and let Him change it. Heard Brother Charles Capps talk about this. You know, he says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, you know, you think, well, that's not fair. But if you take clay and set it out in the sunshine on your driveway, and you take wax and set it out in the sunshine on your driveway, the sun's going to soften one and harden the other. So is the sun a hardener or a softener? The sun is just the sun, but it's whatever. The condition of whatever is exposed to that sun depends on whether it hardens or softens, right? And in our case, it's the attitude of our heart towards God. He said today, Hebrews 4, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the days of provocation. So there is an attitude that we can have towards the Word of God that will cause the Word of God to harden our hearts when we hear it. But there's also an attitude that we can have towards the Word of God that will soften our hearts when we hear it. And it's back to what we said last week. Your heart will be connected to what you treasure, and you decide what you treasure. I'm going to go out on a limb tonight. I mean, the fact that you're here on a Wednesday night instead of doing whatever other people are doing right now on a Wednesday night is because you treasure, obviously, fellowship with one another. You treasure worshiping God. You treasure doing what God instructs us to do. But you treasure the Word of God. And that attitude towards the Word of God will enable the Word of God to soften your heart and work in your heart, as opposed to the opposite effect that many have. So faith comes by hearing. And if you notice in your Bible, that word comes is in italics. It's not in the original. It was added for readability, but the literal translation would be faith by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So, do you see the emphasis on the hearing? Hearing. So, when Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, he's not just talking about hearing with the ear. He's talking about a different kind of hearing, a different way of hearing. And it's that way of hearing that strengthens and builds and awakens and arouses our faith. Amen? Okay. Now, let's go back to Matthew the 13th chapter. And, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So Matthew chapter 13. Jesus just finished his parable of the sower. And in that parable, he's talking about a farmer sowing or planting seed. And he talks about different soil conditions the seed lands upon and the different results based upon those different soil conditions. And when Jesus explains the parable, he explains it again as the seed representing the Word of God and the soil representing the different conditions or attitudes of people's heart towards the Word and towards God. Amen. So we see that when the seed lands upon, I call it where the tractor turns around, where it was compacted and rocky, and the seed that landed there, the birds got it really quick. Then there was other places where it landed, and in this case, the seed sprouted up, but it never put down roots, and then when pressure was applied, it wilted. Then other seed, it grew up, but there was other stuff that grew up around it and tried to choke it out. But then there was the seed that landed on the good soil, and the Bible says that it produced 30, 60, 100-fold results. Now, the Word of God is the Word of God. It's incorruptible seed, meaning if different results are being produced in different people's lives by that Word, it's not because the Word is doing for one what it will not do for another. It's the attitude of the individual person's heart towards the Word. It's the soil of the heart, right? Good soil will produce good fruit. Amen. So again, that's the context. And so Jesus says, verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? I know it doesn't say this, but I believe this was the attitude of the disciples' heart. Spent a lot of time thinking about this. I believe, you know, they were like, come on, Jesus, tell them the good stuff. You know, stuff that he was sharing with them in private and all that stuff, you know, stuff that was really helping them and making a difference in their lives. And they wanted Jesus, because think of how many times, you know, Jesus would teach a parable and then later him and his disciples would talk about it. And that's just the times we have it recorded. There's no telling how many times it happened. And so it's almost like, hey, don't leave them hanging, Jesus. Just get straight to the, you know, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Stay tuned now. This almost sounds like God's not being fair or just here, but just keep listening. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Now remember, abundance to Jesus was a seed producing 30, 60, 100 fold. That, you gotta keep that still ringing and echoing in their hearts and minds. He will have abundance, but Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. So notice it's a heart issue. Their hearing problems and their seeing problems are connected to a heart problem. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. In other places, the Bible says that Jesus came to reveal mysteries that had been kept secret from the foundations of the world. These are important things. This is some serious stuff. And Father God wants everybody to hear it, everybody to understand it, and everybody to benefit from it. But despite sitting there listening to Jesus teach on these things, there are all kinds of people who aren't getting it. We might say it that way. They're not getting it. And it's not because Jesus wasn't a good enough teacher. Are you following me? It was because of the soil condition that his seed words were landing upon, the heart. Now, to me, this verse right here is such a critical verse. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. Let's just stop right here. See, now again, let your soul delight itself in abundance. Okay? Let's step off this subject for a minute. Jesus' disciples are sitting around in a circle. Jesus is not right there in the conversation with them, and they're arguing about who's the greatest. Jesus steps into the conversation. He does not rebuke them for desiring greatness, but instead he explains to them how to be great. He says, in order to be great, you must become like a child. You must humble yourself. You must become a servant of all. This is the way to greatness in the kingdom of God. Let me say it another way. God's put greatness in all of his children. But the way that greatness is brought forth in our lives in a meaningful way, not just to others, but to the one that it has the greatness, right? Is it comes through serving and humility. Not trying to lord over. Not seeing other people as existing for your benefit, but your perspective is that you exist for their benefit. Life got a lot more enjoyable for me and a lot easier when I realized that my ultimate role is a servant. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. And when you view people not as existing for your benefit, but you existing for their benefit, it's really hard for people to disappoint you. I let a lot of people disappoint me over the years, but amen. What Jesus taught me is don't let the people who reject you keep you from reaching the ones who want you and need you. Amen? Are you with me? But if you see them as existing for your benefit, then, you know, when they walk out of your life, you're devastated. If you see yourself as existing for their benefit when they walk out of your life, you're sad because you're sad that they're going to miss out on what you have to offer them. Getting quiet up in here. Is that everybody okay? All right. Now, in the same way, you were created for abundance. And if you go all the way back to the, fall and maybe even late summer, you know, we were talking about the difference between toiling and tending. And when God created Adam, he created him last and put him in the middle of abundance. We do our best thinking. We do our best working. We live our best life in abundance. Okay. So it's the same with greatness. God wants you to be great. He just don't want you trying to put yourself on a pedestal. You were created to be on a pedestal, but not to put yourself there. You don't put a light. He said, you're the light of the world. And you don't put a light under a basket or under a bed or hide it. You put the light on the lampstand, on the pedestal, so everybody can benefit from its light. So you, listen to me, you are created by God to be on a pedestal. God wants you to be on a pedestal. He just wants you putting yourself there. You were created to be great. But God don't want you trying to be great according to this world's way of being great. And you were created for abundance. But if it doesn't begin inward, if it doesn't begin in your heart and then flow out of your life, if instead you're trying to find delight by obtaining the desires of your heart, instead of letting your soul delight itself in the Lord and Him giving you the desires of your heart. Do you see the difference there? It's the heart, 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 heart. How many more times do I need to say it? Heart. So Father God wants you to have abundance. You were created for abundance. When we don't have abundance, when we're living in lack and all that, that's part of the curse. That's poverty. It's not of God. It's part of the curse. It's not what, there's nobody going to be in lack in heaven. And God doesn't want you in lack here. But the key to it again is to obtain abundance God's way. Obtain greatness God's way. Let Him exalt you. You humble yourself under His mighty hand and He will exalt you in due time. He will put you on the pedestal. And when He puts you there, it's kind of, remember that song we used to sing back in the early days? Maybe it was just Vacation Bible School. But the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. Amen. See, when the Lord puts you on a pedestal, ain't no human being can knock you off of it. We used to play this game, King of the Hill. Anybody when you was a kid? Matt was a beast. He reigned on the hill more than, it'd take two or three of us to get him off the hill. That's the world's way. Clawing and scratching, then once you get there, you got to fight to stay there. No. Just let God put you up there. Just let God put you up there. Amen. For he who has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now, I mean no disrespect, but it's almost like Jesus is giving us a riddle here. And I believe it's by design. In the same way that Jesus asked questions because he was wanting to engage our thoughts and direct our thoughts, he would say things like this. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it wishes. You can hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. He's wanting you to think about that. He's trying to direct your thoughts and bring your heart to, not just your brain, your heart to an understanding. So let's break this down for a minute. He says, according to Jesus, there's something that you and I can have that will position us to receive more and more and more. But in the same way, not having this same something will make it ever so easy for the devil to take away what we do have. I was trying to come up with something really clever. This is the best I could do, at least for now. So here's the riddle. What enables God to give you more and prevents the devil from stealing what you have? Somebody said humbleness, and that's a great answer. Listening ear, another great answer. Faith's another great answer. But again, we hadn't gone deep enough yet. Because where all that begins is with the attitude of the heart, right? Where we're leaning into it. Again, faith's great answer. But faith is activated and aroused and strengthened in our lives. It's easy to say by the word of God, and that's true, but can't skip over the hearing and the hearing, right? Faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the hearing, again, another great answer. But whoever said humble, I believe, got the closest, right? Because a humble heart is one that listens carefully to the Lord. An arrogant person doesn't listen to anybody. You ever tried to tell somebody that was arrogant how to do something? It just, you know, it's very frustrating. They don't have ears to hear because their heart's full of pride. So the humility. Now, here is, praise God. So this is, I think it's important to see both. I'm in a hurry to get to something else, but let's just camp right here for a minute. We need to, and we're almost out of time. At least for me, because we're talking about letting our soul delight in abundance, it's very easy to kind of focus in on having this so that God can and is able to give us more and more and more and more till we have abundance, experience abundance. But the other side of the coin is, and this is just as important, because the Bible talks about people, it's like they're putting their money in a sack with holes in it. You understand what I'm saying? They are making money, but they don't know where it's going. It's like every time they look up, there's no money. Right? It's because the devil's stealing. Are you seeing this? So it's very easy. I heard somebody say, you know, some of the issues that we have in our country, they compared it to a bathtub overflowing. And they said, you know, the first thing we need to do is turn off the water. And we got to get the thing unclogged and get it flowing again. But let's cut the water off first. Are you understand what I'm saying? So it's very easy to say, okay, if we just tell me what I got to have to get more and more. But see, again, the way God does it, Proverbs 10:22, he makes one rich and has no sorrow with it. So he's talking about something here that's twofold, that will produce increase and at the same time prevent decrease. It'll provide gain without loss. Now see, the world says, you win some, you lose some. We did pretty good today. I mean, you know, you never know what tomorrow's going to bring, but you know, at least we did good today. You know, no, he's saying if you have this, it'll do two things. It'll position you for God to give you more and more to the point of abundance. And at the same time, it'll prevent the devil from stealing from you. Now, this may be the most bizarre thing that I say tonight, but it reminded me of something. Amen. And so I'm going to share it. Just go with me, okay? When you're writing, and I'm an author. Did you know that? I'm an author. Praise God. I could confess that over myself. I met with some publishers this week. Big publishers, international publishers. And they're interested in my book. And so I'm excited about that. Amen. Very excited about that. And we just trust the Lord. Amen. He knows. And, but one of the things that I'm overcoming as a writer is you can't write and edit at the same time. It's a right brain, left brain thing. It's a creative side versus a critical side. And obviously for good writing, you need both. One lady said it this way. She's just write. Show up, sit down, and write. She said, as an editor, she said, I can fix a bad page, but I can't do anything with a blank one. Right? Well, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'll sit there and I'll write, then I'll back it up and rewrite it. And I'll know it'll sound better if I do it this way, you know. And again, you've got to get in that, what they call a free flow of consciousness. For me, it's a free flow from Holy Spirit, just at your fingertips. I don't know if anybody that come listen to me speak, if I spoke the way I write, I'd be taking everything back and saying it a different way, then take it all back again and say it a different way. Okay. So there's this app. It's a writing app. All right. You ready for what it does? If you don't keep writing, it starts erasing what you've already written. So the idea, because it's designed to train you to turn off that left brain, or whichever side of the brain it is, and just stay in there, right? So if you like pause, it'll start taking the words off that you just wrote. You're like, no, don't do that, right? Okay, all right. So, but do you see the parallel here? It's not just that if you have this, you'll make progress. It's if you have this, you won't lose what you've already received, already been given. Are you following me? It's not my favorite coach. I don't use it that much, but anyway. All right. So I got to give you this. Let's do this. So let's, with all that said now, let's go to the Message translation of these same verses. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right. So from the Message, he says, are you listening to this, really listening? So that's ears to hear, you know, let him hear. Notice how the Message translation translates this. Are you listening to this? Not just sound going to the auditory nerve, but are you really listening? Or as he says in Isaiah, listening carefully. The disciples came up and asked him, why do you tell stories? He replied, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. So again, remember, he who has, more will be given, hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone, so this is verse 12. We just looked at, verse 12 is the one that says, for whoever has, to him will be given, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So let's go back to it. Verse 12 in the Message. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, meaning readiness of heart, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create a ready heart. Notice he's trying to draw people in. He's trying to get them interested in what he's saying, get them thinking about what he's saying, get them to turn their heart, incline their ear, and hear from him in a way that would enable him to work in their lives. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. I might be the only one, but I don't think so. Am I the only person in here? I mean, you may love your doctor, but you just don't really care to go to the doctor. How about the dentist? But I love my dentist. I love my dentist. Man, he's an awesome man of God, Dr. Shane Robert. I love him. Let me tell you how much I love Shane. Are you ready how much I love Shane? He went out of his way to help my wife. I made him a big old pan of white chocolate bread pudding. Well, he let it slip that was his favorite dessert. And I thought, you ain't had it yet, buddy. Wait till I give you some of mine. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, praise God. All right. So, but again, you know, I don't want to deal with him face to face so he can fix my teeth. Are you right? You know, I heard Nate Bargatze. I don't know if y'all are familiar with him. He's a comedian. He's clean. He's clean. He's clean. He's clean. You know, and he was talking about it. He said he was in an audience. He said there's probably not a man listening to me right now that doesn't have some health issue going on in their lives that they probably need to see a doctor about, but they're in denial about it. Right, right. So we just it's kind of like. Section in my book, How Bad Is It? You know, when I hurt my toe, I didn't want to take the sock off and see how bad it was. I didn't want to face it. I just rather, that's a long story. I'd be here too long. So, but anyway, it was a black sock and I was working and I was, Jeff Thomas laughing. Jeff left a ladder on my front porch the day after this happened that I still use. It's in my house. I still use it to this day. I was standing in a chair and sock feet on cardboard, and I had left the vent register off, and the chair punched through. My toe slid in the spindles, and then the whole thing crumpled. And if you're queasy, I don't want to, but it pulled the bone out of the skin on one of my baby toes. Amen. All right. So I knew I was hurt. Are you fine? I knew I was hurt. I mean, it hurt. How did you know you were hurt? Because it was hurting. And so, you know, but you know, like you, that first wave of pain, you're like, okay, all right, we got this. Just get settled down, you know, just kind of examine everything. And Pam says, you okay? Okay. I said, yes, just my foot's hurting a little bit. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Well, about that time, the pool of blood started going on the cardboard. And of course, you know, Pam, she goes, started to get my sock. I'm, no, don't touch my sock. Why? I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to face it. What would it require for these people to deal with Jesus face to face and let him heal them? They're going to have to humble themselves. They're going to have to come to terms with some stuff. They're going to have to admit that they got problems they can't fix without him. They're going to have to admit that there's issues in their life that are not pleasing to God, that nobody knows about, but maybe them and their wives, and we're just going to keep that, right? So again, just keep it all in. But notice that, so that's pride. That's pride. And who does God resist? He resists the prideful. Not because God, well, you're going to be prideful, I'll show you. No, it's because, again, how does God help us? We've got to listen to him. Well, if you're full of pride, you're not going to listen to him. You're going to sit there and, who's this on? This carpenter from Nazareth acting like some big shot. You know, we'll take him down a notch or two. You know, that's, amen, are you seeing this? So they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. It's better. I'm thanking God, but I've had a tooth hurting me, right? I just chew on the other side. What am I doing? I'm screwing my eyes shut. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to give you a practical example here. I got an issue and needs a little help. But you know, maybe. Maybe been a blockhead, you know? It is better. It's them, and I knew when I bought them, but I have used self-control. Almond butter bars, anybody? They're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm telling you. But they're hard, but it's them oats, I guess. They get in your teeth, and then you bite some more, and I sprained a tooth. I don't know. I did, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't run to Dr. Shane, though, I'm telling you, right? See, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, he could probably fix it. I got insurance. I mean, he could probably fix it in 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to face it. Just screw my eyes shut. Put my fingers in my ears. Chew on the right side. Hope it gets better. And it is better, baby. I promise you it is. Okay. All right. I'm not bragging. The Lord's been good to me. My mother's appendix ruptured when she was 9 months pregnant with me. And the fact that we're both alive is a miracle of God. And it was something about the ether. They gave her ether. I guess they gave me ether too. So that'll make a blockhead out of you anyway. No, I'm just kidding. And so that was one of the concerns. They said that I'd have brittle bones and teeth because of the calcium, something that had affected. I don't really understand all the details. But, I mean, Dr. Shane will tell you even, like, the only person that has prettier teeth that come to him than Matt is me. Amen. Just a little jab at my brother. He's been known to call people in to look at my teeth. Amen. And I didn't have a single problem with them until, amen. I got one that's bothered me, Marty, but it's healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate you standing with me, brother. But y'all, I think I'm being silly tonight, but you see what I'm talking about here. It's easier to look at these people like, why ain't just let him help you? You got to humble yourself. You got to admit you need some help. You got to admit you got a problem that you can't fix by yourself. And, you know, God only knows what he's going to ask us to do. And, it's, you know, it's just, You know, and there we go, right? But what do we have? Come on now. We have God-blessed eyes. Eyes that see, God-blessed ears, ears that hear. And listen to this. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you're seeing and to hear what you're hearing, but never had the chance. Never had the chance. Do you realize you're hearing things tonight? I mean, obviously he's heard them now, but Abraham, Moses never heard any of this. He didn't have the words of Jesus like this for us to look at and learn from and benefit from. And that's, I guess, what we would call the crying shame, you know, is that here Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, rubbing shoulders with us, standing in our midst, full of grace, full of truth, speaking words out of his mouth that have never been heard since the foundation of the world. And people don't have ears to hear him or eyes to see. Sad, isn't it? And it continues to this day. Amen. Stand with me. Praise God. Stand with me. Ooh, I went long tonight. I apologize if I was a little too silly tonight. But amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm still trying to get to where we're getting. But do you see that it was the readiness of heart that the disciples had that enabled Jesus to give them things? And as much as he wanted to give them to other people, what would happen to the word? If they didn't understand it, devil would come and steal it. Devil would come and steal it. The devil would steal that word. Every word they didn't understand from the lips of Jesus, the devil would steal. What little they had, he would steal it. What does that mean? Their hearts would start to turn and they had talked themselves out of it. You know, maybe we ought to go back and listen to him again. Oh, honey, last time we did that, we sat out there for hours, all that dust and then people, some of them hadn't bathed in weeks and was so tied up in there and then camels over there and just, you know, just this wait to maybe, you know, there's a better time. You see what I'm saying? And the devil's just stealing everything God's trying to get started in their heart. Amen. Father, you're good to us. We love you. Thank you for life and peace. Thank you for helping us, teaching us tonight, Lord. Father, thank you for revealing your truth to us. Help us have that humble heart, Father, that'll give us ears to hear, that'll help us grow in the faith. Some of these answers, accurate answers that people shouted out to me tonight, Lord. All of that working in our lives, Father, but it begins with a ready heart. It begins with an attitude of our heart towards you to hear, not just to hear something, but to hear, to receive, to do, and to experience your results in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being here. If you think about me tomorrow evening, I've got an opportunity. I'll be ministering at Eagle's Wings. It's a program that uses my book, Becoming a Threat to Addiction. And the man that used to run that program, he's with Jesus now, but he was such an encouragement when I first wrote the book. And so they've invited me up here once or twice a year to minister. And so I'm looking forward to doing that tomorrow evening. You be blessed. Know that you love. Good things coming. We'll see you Sunday morning.